We're still considering some thoughts out of the book of Romans chapter 9. And I want to read Romans 9:11 and then basically depart from that just a little bit to reflect on some thoughts about election that others include in their position on Calvinism or that part of a or that doctrine of election, okay? In Romans chapter 9, verse 11, it says, "For the children being not yet born," and we're talking about Esau and Jacob, "and neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth." Election is not based upon God's foreknowledge of what we will do or not do. It's based upon a decision that he makes before the foundation of the world that he's going to choose. And this is usually the way it works. He chooses the underdog. And because the underdogs don't deserve it. And when they get it, God gets the glory for the blessings that those who do not deserve it and get it and enjoy it. And this calling or this purpose of God according to election is on the basis of God calling us. In Matthew 22:14, it says, "For many are called, but few are chosen," or called out. Of the called, both the called and the chosen are of one group, and the called are those who are saved because they have ears to hear and they are called, and then those that are chosen or elect are called out of the called. In 2 Timothy 1:9, it says, "Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling." Before the calling comes, salvation must be experienced. We're dead in our trespasses and sins. Dead men don't hear. You don't have to whisper over a casket, being afraid that the guy or lady in the casket is going to hear anything, because they're not. But if you are saved and God has given you ears to hear, you will hear. And only saved people can be given ears to hear. But anyway, it says, "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the ages began." This has to do with election. Election takes place in the family. Election takes place in the saved. And it's out of the saved that the elect are called. And so we see salvation first, and then the calling comes next. In Romans chapter 8, verses 29 and 30, it says, "For whom," that is, talking about saved people, "whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son." And we will see that being conformed to the image of his Son will provide a blessing for those that he predestinates. So we'll pick that up in the next verse, Ephesians 1:5. Whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. This is a reference to Christ. "Moreover, whom he did predestinate," in other words, the whom here are those whom he foreknew. Whom he foreknew, he did predestinate them to be called. "And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified." And so this is the sequence of events of calling, those whom he foreknew and did predetermine their position in the family. Now, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 5, it says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. And the word adoption of children is one Greek word. And the Greek word is huithesia. And if you were to translate each individual word, Greek word in that verse, it would say to place as a son. To be adopted is to place in a position of a son. It's similar to me to that of a bar mitzvah. Before bar mitzvah, a man's son, a Jewish man's son, is a servant. He is a child, and he is ignored, basically speaking, in an Orthodox Jewish family. But when he turns 13, he is acknowledged as a son with all of a son's benefits in the family, recognition, honor, so forth. And responsibilities, or extra responsibilities, are given to him. So, having predestinated us unto being placed as a son by Jesus Christ to himself, that is to the Father, according to the good pleasure of his will. And let me say this, or let me just emphasize this portion here, the word by Jesus Christ to himself. The Father is using Jesus Christ as the intermediary of us arriving in that place or position of a son, because we can fail to be a son. We can disqualify ourselves from being a son. And it's according to the good pleasure of the Father. In Ephesians 1:11, it continues about those that are predestinated. They will have an inheritance. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. So to be predestinated and to be called is unto an inheritance. Inheritance is a reward for service and faithful service on the individual's part. Now, I want to introduce the phrase little children. Little children are those who enter the kingdom. And I want you to be aware of what little children, what are the blessings of being a little child is concerned. Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven, or kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, shall in no wise enter therein. To enter the kingdom, you have to become a little child. And we have studied that in the past, and it would take a whole message to really go over that, but what it basically means is this. To become a little child, you must mature in your Christian walk and then take a step backwards. That's what becoming a little child is all it means. In other words, you mature to a place of maturity, and then you take a step back and let others take the lead and have first place. In other words, who is he that's going to be great in the kingdom? It's going to be those who serve. And to serve is to become a little child, because that's what little children do. You can call them little fetchets, if you know what I mean. So, let's continue. In John 13:33, it says, little children, yet a little while I am with you. Jesus is referring to his disciples as what? Little children. Jesus already taught his disciples that they would rule over the 12 tribes of Israel. All right? And he calls them little children. They will enter the kingdom. They will not just see it. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 13, the writer of Hebrews said, "And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the little children which God the Father hath given me." This is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the little children, that's the same word that we have in Luke chapter 18. And it says, "Behold, I and the little children which God hath," God the Father, because that's who is giving the Lord, the little children. And so what I want to do is to focus on the fact that God has given the Lord some people. And those people have privileges that others don't. And most people apply those privileges to getting saved. That's what those who teach Calvinism teach. No man can come to the Father except no man can come to me except the Father draw him. And they apply that to being saved. And that's not what that is talking about at all. We'll go on and we'll cover those verses in just a moment. So, get this reference. "Behold, I and the little children which God hath given me." Little children are those that God has given to the Lord. Okay? Now, in Hebrews 12 or 2:12, saying, "I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I praise unto thee." Jesus Christ declared the name of God unto my brethren. Now, he didn't talk to them about being God. And I decided this morning I would look, do a search on the computer to see how many places the word Father is found in the Bible. And I said case sensitive. In other words, I capital F-A-T-H-E-R. Did you know that there's only one place in the Old Testament where Father is found with a capital F? Now, I appreciate the fact that that can be deceiving, but there was only one place. And it is a reference to the Lord Jesus being the counselor, and on his shoulder shall rest the governments. And all the rest of them are in the New Testament. And so I struggle with finding out the name that he presented to his brethren. In fact, he presented that name to his disciples as well. And that name that he presented was the Father. When he prayed, "Our Father," that was the name that he was teaching his disciples to pray in. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy" what? "Name." Father, name. And he says, "I will declare thy name unto my brethren." Now, what does that mean? Well, to me, it means that he is a father as far as respect and honor is concerned. As a father, I need to do what he tells me to do. I need to not do what he tells me not to do. And a father is one who has the authority. And that's what he taught the disciples. You remember how Stephen talks about the fathers, plural. And they had respect to the fathers. They had also respect to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to Moses as well. But often they're referred to as the fathers. So, Jesus declared thy name unto his brethren. In John 17:1, it says, "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father. When Jesus addressed God, he addressed him as his Father. Did you know that God was the Father head of Jesus Christ? Because what did Jesus Christ come to do? He came to do the will of the Father and to finish his work. And that's the authority that we need to have in our life. I was listening to the induction into the Hall of Fame. And some of the athletes talk about God. You know, God this and God that. Well, there was a fellow on the Packers football team, as well as others, whose name was Randy White. He was on the Packers team. Reggie White, excuse me. I'm sorry. I don't know why I said Randy. Reggie White. And he was known as the Minister of Defense. And what it meant was that he was a believer in Jesus Christ. He was saved. And he had some values. Well, Reggie passed away. He died several years ago. But anyway, he was inducted in the Hall of Fame. And his wife accepted the trophy for him. But his son presented his mother. And he stood up. And the first thing he said was this. I thank my God for my dad. And he says, I want you to know who my God is. And he says, my God is the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, and the God of Isaac. I tell you, that brought tears to my eyes. There was no question in my mind who his God was. If you know what I mean. He did not just talk about God generically, because you can talk about God and not offend anybody. But if you talk about Jesus Christ, you will offend. In fact, I read where a naval officer who was a chaplain was called on the carpet by an admiral because he used the name of Christ in a funeral of a sailor who had trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. And he was reprimanded for doing it, rebuked. So, anyway, I just thought that was significant. The Father is who is to be the one in charge in our life. When Jesus was in the garden, he said, Abba, Father. Abba is just another way of saying Father. He said, Father, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That is the relationship that I need to have with the name of my God, who is the Father. Okay? I hope I got that across to you. He presented the name of God as the Father to his disciples. Now, in John 17:2, he says, as thou, and he's talking to the Father, has given him power over all flesh. In other words, the Father has given the Lord Jesus Christ power over all flesh. That he should or may give age-lasting life to as many as thou hast given him. Now, God the Father has given certain ones to the Lord Jesus Christ to do what with them? To give them life for the age. And he has the authority to do it. Jesus Christ has the authority to do that. From whom? From God the Father. And it's these that are given to the Lord Jesus to give life for the age belong to whom first? If you're giving away candy, you're not giving away somebody else's candy, you're giving away your own candy. And the same thing about God the Father. God the Father gave him his own children to give them life for the age. Okay? Now, verse John 17:6. I have manifest thy name unto the men. In other words, I have manifested, I have made known thy name unto the men, which thou hast given me. Who gave it to? Who gave them these 12 apostles? Or in this case, there were only 11 at this time. Judas was gone. Men which thou gavest me out of the world. And every one of those men were Jews. And so he gave them all these men out of Israel because they were all Jews. Now they say, well, Luke wasn't a Jew because he had a Gentile name. Just because you have a Gentile name does not mean that you can't be a Jew. There's plenty of Jews that have Gentile names. In fact, let me tell you this. In World War II, there was a lot of Jews that became Gentiles. My name's Sam or Buddy, or you know what I mean. They had Gentile names. Okay, let's go on. And before he gave them to the Lord, Jesus said, thine they were. This is in the imperfect tense. He possessed them in the past and he continued to possess them. That's continuous action in the past. And thou gavest them me. And they have kept or guarded thy word. John 17:9. I pray for them. I pray not for Israel. The Lord's ministry to Israel was winding down. It was just a few hours, he'd be on the cross dead. And he wasn't praying for the Israel anymore, because those that had ears to hear heard and responded, and those who didn't have it didn't respond, which is the way it's supposed to be. And he says, I'm not praying for Israel. But who am I praying for? I'm praying for those, or for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Who is he glorified in? He's glorified in the little children, because that's who they were, little children. The Paideans, the ones that will enter the kingdom, the ones who will rule and reign over 12 tribes of Israel. And they are mutually belong to him and to the Father. In other words, when the Father gave them to the Lord, he didn't abandon them. He didn't say, I don't own them anymore. He says, what's mine is yours and what's yours is mine. We're one on this, okay? Now, verse 11. He says, now I am no more in the world. And I associate the world with Israel. Because obviously, Jesus Christ was in the world, if you want to take it as terra firma. He was in the garden. He was in the world. But this world is a reference to the nation of Israel. I no longer have a ministry to the nation of Israel. I'm no longer moving in and out of the nation or the tribes of Israel, teaching the mysteries of the kingdom. That's why he says, I am no more in the world, or Israel, but these are in the world. These men that are in front of me are still able and will minister to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he says, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. Keeping them in thy own name has to do with the authority. When we lose respect for the Father, you know what? I'm using the word lost. We will slip away, we will fall away from the things of the Lord. And that will hurt us when we stand to be judged, okay? So when he says, keep through thy own name those whom thou hast given me. And we need to have respect for the Father, and if we lose respect for the Father, That's like losing the fear of God. And if you lose the fear of God, you become lawless. Okay? So it's through His name that we, and His, and the respect that we have for His name, and the honor that we give to our Father, because we are to honor our parents, and we're to honor our Father. And so, so that's what keeps us from drifting away from Him. Verse 12. While I was with them in the world, that is, in Israel, I kept them in Thy name. I presented the Father with to them, and I kept them in Thy name. I guarded them by referring to the Father and the respect that that I have for You, Father. I taught them that respect. Those that Thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them perished, but the son of perdition. Now, the son of perdition, we know, is Judas. And you already know that I believe that Judas was a child of God. He was elect. He was chosen. But yet he perished. And the reason he perished is because he was a thief. And no thief will have an inheritance in the kingdom. That's what Paul says. And Paul does not contradict what God teaches and believes and supports, okay? Anyway, Judas perished. In other words, he didn't go to hell, so to speak. He just lost his inheritance. And because of his position as far as being an apostle, his loss is greater than anyone else. And he is the son of perdition. Mr. and Mrs. Perdition didn't have Judas, okay? What that has to do with maturity. He matured in rebellion against the Savior, his Master. Okay? He perished. He kept all of them but one. Now, let's go on. Verse 24. Father, I will that they also whom Thou gavest me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which Thou hast given me, for Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Those whom He has given to the Lord will behold His glory in the heavenlies. These will be in the heavenlies with Him. These are the ones that will be with Him when He comes on the white horse. They will be Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and they will come with Him. And they'll rule and reign with Him. Then, going back in John chapter 6, verses 35 through 40, it says, I will raise him up. And it's those whom he has been given will be promoted. I believe this is a resurrection, or what he's talking about. The word raise up can be a reference to bodily resurrection, and it is a reference to bodily resurrection, but I think in the context of these verses it has to do with being promoted. Okay, and I'll try to present that to you in a clear way, and we'll see what happens. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me, present middle, and the middle voice means for himself. He's not drugged there. He comes because of himself. The middle voice says that. To me, shall or may never hunger. And the word hunger is subjunctive. And the reason why it's subjunctive is if the present tense can be stopped any time. You can quit coming to the Lord any time. And if you stop coming to the Lord, you're going to get hungry. Okay? But if you don't, I mean, if you keep on coming to the Lord, you won't get hungry. And he that believeth, present active, on me, shall never thirst. And it has to do with faithfulness on our part. But I say unto you, verse 36, that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me, verse 37, shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I've read past verse 36 because this is not addressing lost people. This is addressing saved people. And he says, you've seen me and you've seen what I've done, but you don't believe my message pertaining to the kingdom. In fact, the passage in John 6 talks about those that he foreknew that would not believe in the present tense. But we'll continue reading here in verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And so I'm reading these verses to show you that the Father is giving the Son individuals, and they're going to come to him, and they're not going to be hungry, and they're not going to be thirsty, and they will not be cast away or cast out. And I associate that with being faithful in coming and faithful in believing. Verse 38, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, or perish, nothing should perish, but should raise it up again at the last day, or in the last day. In other words, you and I, if we're faithful to the Lord, and we're of those, of that number that has been given to the Lord by the Father, we're going to be promoted in the kingdom age. In that day is a reference to the kingdom age, I am persuaded. In fact, the word raise it up again, it contains the word stand again. To stand again. And I think that's significant, and I'll show you that in just a moment out of Jude 1:24. But let me read verse 40, and then we'll get to the conclusion of our thoughts this morning here quickly. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son, that is, as a high priest, and believeth on him, that is, the Son, and this is in the present tense, may have age-lasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day, or cause him to stand in the last day. And this comes with age-lasting life. To be raised up comes with age-lasting life. To rule and reign is to be raised up is a reference to rule and reign in the kingdom. Now, so what does it mean to be raised up again? Well, we find the word raise in Jude 1:24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you, and that word present you is the same word that we're talking about, raise. Not raise again, because raise again is a compound word, but this word here, to present, means to make you stand faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. And that's what it means to be raised in that day. If you're raised in that day, you're going to be in the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. In other words, you're going to be ruling and reigning with Christ. Okay? Because I don't think it has to do with just simply being raised from the dead. Now, in John 6:44, it says, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. This is talking about those the Father has given him. He's going to promote them to positions of honor and glory in his coming kingdom. And in verse 47 of John 6, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me regards age-lasting life. Those who are believing, present tense, are those, in other words, those who are faithful, are those who regard or have a place of value on life for the age. And And it has to do with those whom the Father has given to the Lord. Now, in 6:64 and 5, it says, "But there are some of you that believe not." And this word "believe" is in the present tense. In other words, I know that there are some of you that are not faithful. That's what he's saying. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that would believe, in the present tense, not, and who would betray him. And he said, "Therefore said I unto you that no man can come to me except it were given him unto him of my Father." Well, we know that Judas quit believing in the present tense. He quit being faithful because he is the one who betrayed him. And he knew from the beginning those who would believe in the present tense, and he knew that Judas would not continue to believe in the present tense. Now, with this, with the next two verses, we'll close. So, this has to do with foreknowledge being included in knowing what men are going to be doing, and those men that were around the Lord. Now, in John 10, verses 27 through 29, he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them age lasting or kingdom life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all." The sheep are those that the Father gave the Lord. And those sheep are those who continually hear, and they continually follow. And if you continually hear the Lord and continually follow the Lord, you're going to have life in the coming kingdom that you're going to enjoy. You're going to be ruling and reigning with Christ in the coming kingdom. And these that He is going to give age-lasting life to are those whom the Father gave Him. And greater, and the Father is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now, what do we need to be doing? This is the part of the application. A lot of this is just information material to help us to understand what it means, whom the Father has given him, what it means. It doesn't mean that the Father has given lost people to the Lord to be saved, because these people that the Father is giving to the Lord were His already. And He gave them to His Son so that His Son could bestow life for the age upon them. But we need to appreciate the fact that that's a no guarantee for us. It wasn't a guarantee for Judas, and neither is a guarantee for us. 2 Peter 1:10 and 11. "Wherefore the rather, brethren..." And by the way, brethren are those who are seeking to do the will of the Father. Why? That they might enter the kingdom. "Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall." Judas fell. And we can too. And if we do these things, verse 11, it says, "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly unto the age-lasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." We need to be faithful. That's the bottom line. The Father is faithful in giving those that belong to Him to the Son, and the Son is praying for us, and He wants us to succeed, and He's given us what we need so that we can, and if we do remain faithful to Him, we will have an abundant entrance into the coming kingdom. And that's what I want, and that's, I hope, what you want as well. Shall we look to the Lord in a word of prayer? Father, I just pray that You would bless these thoughts to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to work through them this week again so we can establish them in our own heart, so that we can allow You to minister to us, to understand what You are doing. You're giving those that belong to You, to the Lord Jesus Christ, that He might give age-lasting life to them. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just help us to comprehend this and to be thankful for it. And we do want to pray for your blessings upon those that we have prayed for this morning in need. Think about Kim's family. We think about Bev Hirsch as she travels, that you would bless her. And we just commit Probita's father to you as well. We ask you for your blessings upon him. Again, we thank you for these blessings in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.